Amen. Mark chapter 11. And I'll be in verse 22. Trusting God to wrap this up today. And thanking those of you who made it to international. We started our walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, on Thursday night, down the night. Some of you didn't come. Some of you have never come. I just want you to know that you are doing yourself a disservice. Some people think that when they don't come to church, Pastor Fred will feel bad. You are wasting your time. I don't see you. When you come, it's for your good. Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will, he will know, he shall know of the doctrine. If any man will, one translation says, if anyone is willing, if you are willing, you will know. You will not know until you are willing. If you are willing, you will know. Every service that is organized is meant for your blessing. Every service in this church is an encounter. There is no service that is meant for decoration. Every service is an encounter. But some of you are too anointed to attend the prayer meeting. You know too much to be in Bible study. What is Pastor Fred going to say anyway? You are doing yourself a big disservice. If you have been encumbered at home, tell your parents, my church is Sunday and Thursday, only 2 days a week. There are churches where they go till today, where they still go to church at least about 4 times a week. They have their Sunday service, they have Monday morning prayer or Monday evening, they have Wednesday Bible study, they have Thursday. Some of them will have vigil. I used to live in an area where they had a service every day. My wife, no, vigil every night. Vigil every night in that church. Vigil every night. We have become so sophisticated that our sophistication has given birth to disobedience. In the new month, when I begin to teach about worship His Majesty, I will tell you about honor. Your worship cannot be acceptable to God if you don't honor God. And when it comes to the things of God, we must come with honor. Jesus taught us to pray. Matthew chapter 6, He taught the disciples to pray. He said, pray this way from verse 10. Our Father who art in heaven. No, not verse 10 now. The previous, if you go up a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. Our Father who art in heaven. The first thing to say is, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Verse 9. Hallowed be thy name. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven, the first thing you say to Him is, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed is the word honored. Your name must be honored. Jesus must be honored. Until He's glorified, no destiny is beautified. What are you doing with your time as a young person? What are you doing? Those of you who came for the International Workers' Congress, you had the testimonies from Pastor Mo yesterday, the pastor of our church in Berlin. He was 19 when he came to this church. And then they started the campus fellowship in UI. They took UI by the storms. And he admitted in that video, what did he know? But he had a willing heart. God is not dealing with you based on your knowledge. Nobody cares what you know. Too much knowledge self is making your head swell. But God saw a willing heart, a willing vessel, found him faithful. At 19, 20, they were already taking UI by the storms. Winning souls everywhere. And they were here, he said, the first time he was going to be exposed to church, that he would ever know church, was when he came to the Stone Church in 1993. He had a Baptist background in Ondo State. So coming to church in Ibadan for the first time, he was coming to the Stone Church. And they used to come here to pray in the night. Well, it was Bodija then, not here, before they moved here. In the night, 3 straight hours. They will start, first of all, an hour of prayer. Then they will have the worship. And then they will have the word. And then the moment the prayer started, they were praying in tongues for 3 straight hours. Nobody praying, God, give me bread. God, give me butter. But I can guarantee you that as many of them as did it from their heart that time, they have taken the word by the storms wherever they are now. He's by no means a small man. He used to be an engineer with an oil company, Michelle or so. Left and then started his own business in the same line. He got a contract to be in Kuwait for 2 years. The zeal that he had gathered from his days of his youth did not leave him. He was only going to be in Kuwait for 2 years. He started a church. Now that's a place, that's a country where you can't have church openly. The pastor of that church now, Jacob Karen, was here during Dunamis this year. He shared it. He said, in our country, you can't just have church openly. They go to church underground. Underground. You can't declare openly Jesus is Lord. Yet God is giving them favor in the land. What are you doing for God in the days of your youth? What are you doing? In John 12, 24, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls down to the earth and dies, it abides alone. Your life will not make any meaning if all you do is live for yourself. Wake up, get dressed, do makeup or whatever nonsense, and then go to your business and then come back. And that's it. Nothing in the house of God. You are doing nothing in the house of God. Nothing. To even come to prayer is a problem. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls down to the earth and dies, it abides alone, alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. A dead life is a dedicated life. You forget about your HND, BSc, MLL, BIM, BMW. You forget about everything. They say the church is open, you are there. They say we are going for evangelism, you are there. There's a midweek service, you are there. Our services are not burdensome. How many hours? Maximum 2.5, 3 hours, midweek. In fact, every Thursday Bible study is only 1.5. 5:30 and by 7, we are done. 1.5 hours. Except for encounter night that has stretched now to 2.5. And we can see what God is doing and we can't stop him. I'm not happy with those of you who are just rather lackadaisical about your Christian faith. Let me tell you, the days in which we live, the same challenges that your parents are facing are the same challenges you are facing. The same demons. There are no youthful demons. There are no children's demons. All the demons are old as the Bible reports that they were cast out of heaven with Satan. Paul told us in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You are wrestling. Look, this one says, no, Pastor, I don't have any problems. You are already in a wrestling match. It's only you don't know. And you need to wake up. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling. What are we wrestling with? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers. The rulers, not the servants, the rulers of the darkness of this world. What Pastor J.K. Salu's testimony? In the days of his youth, in a supermarket, they entered to shop and a woman, a European woman, shouted, let this man get out, let this man get out. She dropped her shopping cart and shouted that they must leave. Because when light comes, darkness will be uncomfortable. These men were doing exploits from the days of their youth. What exploit will you people say that you are doing? What will you tell the generations to come? When you are 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, what will you say? Some of you, your spiritual resume is zero. You have never led anybody to Christ before. You have never helped anybody to overcome a problem. You have never cast out a demon. In fact, you have given them a demon. Because when you encourage somebody to leave church and go to another church, you have given them a demon. The demon that you are carrying. So there is demons. People can't stay in the presence of God. In one church, you can't stay in one church. God asked Satan, where are you coming from? Job chapter 1 from verse 6. He said, I'm coming from the earth, walking to and fro, up and down. To and fro, up and down. Some people, I can't preach one mess, 1 hour for them to sit down. They must go to and fro. The ministry of the devil. I tell you this for your good. If you like, take it. If you like, thrash it. I don't give a hoot. Are you listening to me? You serve God is for your good. You don't serve God. As for me and my household, we have subscribed to serving the Lord. My own generations in the Elegbe family, we serve Jesus forever. My son was telling my wife, at the age of 12, they're already praying in their class for a boy whose father is a herbalist in his class. Private school, nice school, everybody speaking good English. But the boy told them that his father is a herbalist. My son and one of his friends preached Christ to the boy, and they're already praying for the salvation of his soul. The devil will see Pepe. Because as for me, my own generation will serve Jesus. You won't see me at an encounter night and my children are in the car. Or they're in the office playing with tab. No, once it's time for prayer, they're here to pray. What are you doing? Some of you have time on your hands. You have your time. You dictate what you want to do, but you won't be in church. Many, many people don't like to apply themselves. There are people that should be in church this morning. They are not here because they cannot stress themselves. Some people that I know, whose situations are debilitating. It's not everything I tell you here. Thank God, when Dr. Komola shared that testimony, I never came here to say, we have a sister and you said now, everybody, let's begin to pray. She's going to do surgery so that the surgery. No, I didn't tell you. I called one person, go there, Yeshua, check on her for me, then I'll come. There are many issues that people have. But the people themselves, many don't apply themselves. They want a magic, not a miracle. Faith is a process. It's a process. You process the word of God until you get the product. Are you with me? You process the word. Before they can sell tomato puree in the supermarket, a farmer has to go to farm, plant the seed, water it, do weeding, apply fertilizer, wait for harvest to come, harvest it, sell to the one that will buy, and those ones will take it to the industry to process. In one unit, they are processing the tomato itself. In another unit, they are preparing the package, the can, or the sachet in which they will package it. Another unit is preparing how to put maybe additives for it to last long. Or preservatives, rather. So before you can enjoy tomato puree, it goes through a process. Before you can buy orange juice or fruit wine, somebody has to plant grapes. Water it, weed it, manure it, do everything, harvest it, sell it to the one that will process and will buy, and then they will thresh it. The grapes will go through threshing. Threshing is not enjoyable, but it's part of the process for new wine to come out. There is no future for the lazy. Listen to me. You can't be lazy and be a Christian at the same time. There are no lazy Christians. My mom told me, say, Ole kule shegbagbo. A lazy person can't be a Christian. Reading your Bible is a job. Praying is a job. The kind of prayer that brings results, not 5 minutes prayer, not 15 minutes, sir. 1 hour is just the start. You are warming up. When I call for prayer, Monday afternoon, 3 p.m., how many of you show up? How many of you? Some of you are in Mokola here. You won't come. You are just in UI there. You can't come. You better pray so you don't pray. You better pray before you become a prayer point yourself. Or a prayer emergency. Please pray for me. The things that the fathers of faith Men like Apostle Babalola of CAC. The kind of revelation, those men walk with God, though. They so walked with God, they had results. That's why you see some of their hymns are still intact till tomorrow. Not some of these Nigerian songs that spiritists are giving you. Spiritists. Not spiritual. Spiritual people always have results. Spiritists. Just mount. What do they have? Free of charge. Before I begin to preach. Everybody is sober now. Hallelujah. No, it's a bad taste when we come for prayer and I see 10 people, 12 people. It doesn't even represent 10% of the church. It's a bad taste. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing? I'm busy. Busy doing what? Where's your Cadillac? Where's your limousine? I can't see it. So you are busy. Busy doing what? In English, call yourself to a meaningful meeting. Call yourself. Say, myself, we want to have a meeting today. Let's sit down and have a meeting. Is this the way I want to continue my life? I'm alarmed. Today is already the last Sunday in the month of June. 2024 has been cut into two halves. Two equal halves. When did we say Happy New Year? What is new in your life? What is new in my life? Check it. Sit down. What have you done? Busy here and there. Talking all over the place. Talking. If you want to be a serious Christian, I will help you. If you want to be unserious, you will never find me friendly. I will never be your friend. And I'm not looking for friends. Neither am I looking for fans. I don't understand fan club, how it works. I want people that are serious-minded, whose lives will be testimonies, who will go out there, do well, and touch the lives of other people, whose light will so shine that men, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. The brightness. You'll be so bright, kings will be attracted. Who are you? Come here. We want to do business with you. We want to work with you. And to the glory of God, we're having testimonies. So, be serious. Be serious. Those of you in medical school, it is not an excuse to not be in church. It is not. Pastor Bayo was in medical school when he used to play keyboard here in the church. Medical school. He would have medical exams, and Pastor Bayo would still make it to the service to play the keyboard. Somebody that had exams Monday is playing Friday overnight to Saturday morning. I remember when he used to tape his glasses with sellotape. There was no money to even change the frame of the glasses. The man earns in dollars now. He sits on nations. Any communicable disease comes out of anywhere, any infectious disease is part of the people that walk. They curtailed Ebola. Ebola would have killed many in Nigeria. Pastor Bayo was he was part of the team that curtailed Ebola from the Stone Church. This is not a church where we normally just, blow our trumpet. Otherwise, if you knew certain people in this family, you'll be shocked. We used to have the daughter of the deputy governor of Benue State in this church, Expression House. I never announced it one day. And we never wrote a letter to our dad. Please help us, sir. We don't have AC in our church. Never. So some of you don't even have anything. And you nonsense. Stop that nonsense and that rascality. Please. It is for your good. If I share the story of my humble background with you, it is because I want you to learn. I want you to learn that God can lift anybody. In my life, I will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever beg anybody for anything. I've known God that much. Been through the valley. But I found his faithfulness. I found this Jesus. He has ransomed my soul. He has saved my life. And so this is the gospel I'll preach forever. Join the ship. Join the winning team. Let's cruise on the altitude of the spirit. Some of you have differences with your HOM. Because of that, you are no longer functioning in your ministry. When you get home today, go and repent before the Lord. Because if anybody is serving in this house, you are serving Jesus, not your HOM. And you left your place of service. You are too big to serve God. Go and repent today and say, Father, forgive me. Some of you have never served. And all the ministries keep advertising they need more people. The ushering ministry, protocol, technical, whatever. They need more people. And you are comfortable not doing anything. Not doing anything in the house of God. And you are comfortable. If God places a demand on you to pay for the oxygen that you are breathing for 24 hours, I guarantee you, your family doesn't have that money. You can't pay it for 24 hours. And you can't serve God with your breath. The only thing we have is the breath in our nostrils. The difference between me and a cadaver is the breath of God in my nostrils. That's the difference. If the breath goes out, the last one, zah, what you have left is cadaver. Serve God in the days of your youth. Faith is no cheap talk. Faith is no cheap talk. Have faith in God is no cheap talk. It is hard work. But it pays. It has proofs. It guarantees results. Biblical fact about faith in God. Number one, I said genuine faith has its roots in Jesus Christ. I taught that 2 weeks ago. Number two, which I began last week or maybe even 2 weeks ago, faith begins where the will of God is known. And then the question I asked you last week is, how do you know the will of God? This is how to know the will of God. I want to help you now. If those who are writing right, make a quality decision. Make a quality decision to stay in the Word of God, investing quality time daily. Make a quality decision to stay in the Word of God, investing quality time daily. Jam your mind with the Word of God. It will wash your mind clean. A quality decision is a decision that shows your strength of character. A quality decision. Listen, everybody. A quality decision means I'm there every day. Set your time. Maybe 6 a.m., maybe 5 a.m., maybe 5:30, because you're going to have a busy day. Wake up earlier if you're going to have a busy day. Not because tomorrow is going to be busy, so there's no time for the Word of God. Every day, you must make room for the Word of God. Because doing that will help you to renew your mind. How does the Word of God renew our mind? That's what I'm teaching at Bible study. When you come to Bible study, I'm teaching the practical steps of how to renew your mind. Many people will live and die as Christians, will never have their minds renewed. And if your mind is not renewed, it will be bouncing back the Word of God. It will be bouncing back the promises of God that belong to you. Because you will keep disqualifying yourself. This is not for me. This is for people that are more righteous than me. This is for those who are closer to God than me. No, it's for you. The promises are for you. But for you to accept it, your mind must be renewed. This mind is not born again. It has to be renewed with the Word of God. The day you gave your life to Christ, your spirit man got born again. Your mind remained unrenewed. Your body is not planning to be born again. But as you get into the Word of God and jam your mind with the Word of God, it will continue to wash and wash and wash your mind clean. This process will help you see who you are in Christ and all that are yours in Christ. This process is a process. It will help you see who you are and all that you have in Christ. You remember Ephesians 5:26? It says, by the washing, through the washing of the water, by the word. Through the washing of the water by the word system. Get there. Through the washing of the water by the word. The Word of God is the water that washes your mind. It's like you going to the bathroom to have your bath. Ephesians 5:26. It's like you going to the bathroom to have your bath. Every time you enter the bathroom and you honestly have your bath, you know some dirt will leave your body. If you're having your bath in a bathtub and the bathtub is white, you would see impurities from your body. You'll be shocked. Oh, wow. So my body was this dirty. You might not know that your body was that dirty, but when you have your bath, you will know. This is what the Word of God does every time you open it and sit down with it and you say, Holy Spirit, help me. It might be one verse per day, one verse, that they might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is God's water. If God is going to wash you, He's going to wash you by His Word. Can I have an amen? Listen to the process. As you do this daily, you will begin to see who you are in Christ. For instance, you will get to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Give me Romans 3, 20 to 22, Amplified Classic. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. Is dear Kola in church this morning? Okay, good. So she sent me a message about righteousness some time ago. So listen now. Romans 3, 20 to 22. Now he says, let me read from the KJV. Leave the AMPC on the screen, the KJV I have here. It said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, in the sight of God. It said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All right? But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The law does not make anybody right before God. The law gives you the knowledge of sin. As a matter of fact, they say where there is no law, there is no sin. Because everybody will act whatever they like to do and nobody will say, oh, you have sinned. But the moment you are aware of the law, then it means, oh, if I do this, then it is wrong. It's punishable. For example, in Nigeria, we have a law that we drive on the right. If you now choose to drive on the left, you face oncoming traffic. That's an offense. That's a traffic offense. Because there is a law now, there is sin. But there is the righteousness that is of God, which is manifested independently of the law. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. That's what that scripture is saying there. Verse 20 now, AMPC. He said, for no person will be justified, made righteous, acquitted, and judged acceptable in his sight, in the sight of God, by observing the works prescribed by the law. The children of Israel had 613 laws. How on God's green earth are you going to fulfill 613 laws? Some of you, what you are wearing this morning, the color combination you're wearing, already contradicts the law. And we need to eject you from this synagogue. Some of you, by virtue of what you eat, you know, fishes that have no scales. And that is what some of you like to eat for pepper soup. For example, you know, catfish. You have broken the law. Some of you eat rabbit, ehoro. You have broken the law. Some of you combine linen and wool. My goodness, you've broken the law. So every Sunday when you're coming to church, because you have broken certain laws, you should bring goats to church. Two goats. One as a scapegoat and two for your personal peace offering, which the priest will take from you. So my booth will be full of meat. And there shall be meat in my house every time. But glory be to God. Hallelujah. I said, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The law had a heavy weight. So Jesus brought grace such that in his presence now we're able to lift our hands and say, thank you, Father. And we can call God, Abba. He said to the disciples, I go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. They couldn't call him Father before. But Jesus said, hey, henceforth you are no more slaves. You are now, you can now have access to my Father. My Father is now your Father. My God, your God. So Amplified Classic says, for the real function of the law is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin. Not mere perception, but an acquaintance with sin which works toward repentance, faith, and holy character. Yes, next verse. But now, the righteousness of God, righteousness is a big word. It means rightness. It means being right. Being right. And do you know God is always right? Talk to me, church. God is always right. Is that true? If God says good afternoon in the morning, is God wrong? God is always right. So if he says good afternoon, you say, oh, Lord, is it morning? No, it can't be morning. Solar system will adjust itself and become afternoon because God said good afternoon. God is always right. Can I have an amen? Amen. Settle that in your life. Jesus, the moment you accept Jesus, Jesus now makes you right. So that you can have access to the Father. From your bedroom, you can worship the Father. You couldn't do that before. Once in a year, the high priest went into the holiest of all, once in a year, and they would put a chain around his waist or around his leg, and he would go with an offering, a sacrifice, blood, for himself, first of all, and then for the sins of the people. And the moment he entered into that holiest place, they would be shaking the chain from time to time so that to know whether the man was still alive or not. They would shake it, he would shake it back. They would shake it, he would shake it back. That means the man is still there. Because if he died there, because God found him guilty, nobody dared entered into the place to carry his dead body. They would all be dead. So they would have to pull his dead body out by the chain. But hey, we have a high priest. And he's the high priest of our confession, according to Hebrews 3:1. And his name is King Jesus. Can I have an amen? He has made a way. Hebrews 10:19 tells us that we now have access to the Father by his blood. Once and for all, by his own blood. Jesus is our sacrifice. He made himself the sacrifice. So that you and I can call God our Father and our God. But now the rightness of God, God is right, has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law. Although, come on now, who is that? I've left Hebrews 10:19 a long time ago. Go back to my scripture. Thank you. 21. But now, the rightness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law, although actually it is attested by the law and the prophet. Verse 22. Quickly, please. Namely, the rightness of God. The righteousness is also rightness. The rightness of God, God is always right, which comes by believing with personal trust and confident reliance upon Christ Jesus, the Messiah. And it is meant for all who believe, and there is no distinction. Whether you are white or black, no distinction. It is meant, this rightness of God that comes through Jesus Christ is for all. So what does that mean? I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I believe in Jesus. I am right. Can I have an amen? So when I come to God to pray, God looks at me through the lens of the blood of Jesus. And he sees that I now have the rightness of Jesus. So I have the right to call on my Father. Amen. When you know this, you will have boldness in the place of prayer. You won't be praying beggarly prayers. When you know you're a proper child in a family, there's a way you talk to your dad. Amen. But you don't talk to your dad the way you talk to an uncle. If you need a help from an uncle, you have to go through some paraphernalia. You have to go through some indirect channels. And even if you go directly to him, you find a way. You don't go like a daughter. My daughter can barge into my meeting with the leaders of Expression House, open my fridge, take a bottle of soda, and walk out without any permission. Somebody challenges her. She says, it's for my daddy. Amen. Or do you walk into an uncle's office like that? Sir, please may I? Because I'm just kind of thirsty, and God doesn't want you to come through an uncle. He wants you to come to the Father. Can I have an amen to that? This is where faith begins. When you know that there is no stumbling block anymore between you and your Father. So somebody threatens you with death on campus. I will kill you. You say, look at you. Do you know who my Father is? If my father were the governor, can you walk up to the daughter of the governor and say, I will kill you? Who are you? Your entire family in jail till 2045 before court case will be heard. Are you with me, church? Now, my father is more than the governor. My father is the governor among the nations. He is the king of kings and the lord of lords, the one that cannot be impeached because nobody voted him in, nobody can vote him out. Can I have an amen? That's your father. Then you can be bold in the place of prayer. Hebrews 4:15 says, let us now come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the hour of need. Grace to help. 16, verse 16, please. Verse 16, Hebrews 4:16. 16. Let us therefore come. How?
Boldly.
Oh, two people came to church, Lord.
Boldly.
How should we come to God?
Boldly.
Boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy. Kari anugba. And find what? Oriofe. Grace to help in time of need. Now, in time of need, you go to God. I say, Lord, I don't really know. If you really want to help me, God, God, look at my life. Look at the way things are going. And you rant and rant and rant and rant for 1 hour. And you run for 3 days. And you go fasting 21 days. And you keep ranting every day, Lord, how are we going to do this now? You are outside the will of God. You lack the consciousness of your being right with God. Because if you do have the consciousness of being right, it will make you go boldly and say, Father, we have a case to settle here. And Lord, so, and according to your word, Lord, my daughter will remind me that you said you will take us to Disney. Dad, you said we'll go to Ventura. Dad, you said on my birthday, my 10th birthday, you're going to get me a computer. That's the way they talk to me. And when I don't have the resources, I say, Lord, you heard what they said. I got to make this good. That's how to talk to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. It is the will of God for you to be right. Righteous. Now, so what happens when we blow it? What happens when we make mistakes, when we fall, when we commit sin? Now, you are out of line with God. What the Bible says is, get back into line. Can you help me put 1 John 1:9 on the screen? Quickly. Read it, everybody, out loud. Oops. Was that written to New Testament believers? Or old covenant believers? Come on, talk to me, church. The last time I checked, 1 John was in Old Testament? New Testament. So there's a place for confession of sins, even for people in the new. So the hyper grace tells you, because your sin of the past, present, and future have been taken care of, you don't need to repent. No, 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 no. Jesus preached repentance. The apostles preached repentance. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. We must preach it. And we need to do it when we need to do it. Read, everybody. If, did he say if sinners confess our sins? We believers confess our sins. Yeah, what's going to happen? Faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins. And to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not going to forgive you and leave the stain of unrighteousness on you. Unrighteousness stains you. You stepped out of righteousness into unrighteousness. But the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess and then we get back into righteousness. Can I have an amen? When you fall out of line, fall back into line. Don't wait until Sunday service to come and confess your sins. We don't have room for that in our prayer time. We just pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the difference between where I'm coming from and where I am now. My former church, our order of prayer was Adura Okpe, after the Adura Okpe, and then we thank God. The next thing is confession of sins. Then we now start confessing our sins. Then the next one is Holy Ghost come. We must ask for Holy Ghost to come. But it's in us already. Can you see the difference now? But even at their level of knowledge, God still relates to them. Many of the fathers of the apostolic faith moved the hands of God with prayers. I heard of an account of Apostle Babalola, who was, he had some people, some guests, and they asked him to pray, just bless the food. They were going to eat food, just to bless the food. Baba knelt down. He had the habit of honoring God, kneeling down in the place of prayer. He knelt down to bless the food, and from Sunday, he prayed to Monday. He prayed to Tuesday. It was on Wednesday he opened his eyes and saw that, oh, where are we? Just to bless the food. He had gone far in the spirit. Far, far, far. A man who went to a mountain to pray, that mountain is still there in Edo Ajinore in Ekiti State. And a snake, a python was coming out. Oh, of course, there are reptiles in that place. And the man kept praying. And the thing bit him. And the man kept praying. The thing moved over his body, crawled over him. And the moment he crossed to the other side, it dried up right there. Dried up. So many, many, many exploits. Today, you are apostle by title. Nigerians, that apostle. I want apostle to shishi agbara. One of the marks of an apostle is the working of mighty deeds and miracles. Among them is also planting of churches. It's not the only. The fact that you plant churches everywhere does not make you part of the fourth class of apostles. There are four classes of apostles. The head of them is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the apostle and priest of our high calling. The second degree, we have the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The third degree of apostles, we have the foundational apostles, those who added to the building of the New Testament church, in which Paul the apostle was qualified, and not anybody in this generation. The fourth class is what we have in this generation. And some of them say they are not even qualified, but they call themselves apostle. Apostle is not by title. Nigerians like title. Do the work with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, not title. You make a mistake to introduce somebody as a pastor and he calls you, please come. Next time you want to call me, I'm Reverend Doctor. I'm Reverend Doctor, not pastor. Because to them, pastor is less. Then there is most reverend. Then there is most senior apostle. Then there's most holy apostle. Wake up. As you spend time in the word of God, your mind is renewed. Are you with me, church? Are you still here? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Quickly, quickly, quickly. You have right standing with God through Christ. Amplified Classic. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Amplified Classic. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. All right? Verse 18. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed, we might aim to bring others into harmony with him, not just by word, but also by action. If you have received righteousness imputed to you, you are also expected to live righteously. That's what they don't tell you. I am the righteousness of Christ. Amen, that's who you are. But it is also expected of you to live righteously. In fact, Peter said in the house of Cornelius, those that walk righteousness, or those that walk righteously. In Acts chapter 10. Move on, please. Verse 19. It was God personally present. Somebody say personally present. He didn't delegate. God didn't send an angel to be in Christ. God himself was personally present in the person of the Holy Spirit in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. All right? Verse 20, please. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We as Christ's personal representatives. We are Christ's personal representatives. Ask yourself, am I representing Christ in my office? Am I representing Christ in my school, in my department? Am I representing Christ at home? Am I representing Christ in school? Before you make your next TikTok video, ask yourself, am I representing Christ on TikTok? We are Christ's representatives. We beg of you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. I'm begging you, church. I'm begging you, Expression House. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Love God in the days of your youth. Follow after God, not material things. Material blessings will come. They will chase you down. More than enough. More than enough. Stop celebrating material benefits. They will come. People who don't know God, even they enjoy the material benefits from God. He causes his rain and his sun to fall and to shine on the good, the bad, and the ugly. How much more will he freely give us those things? Let's chase the right thing. Let's chase God. Verse 21. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness, the rightness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm acceptable. Okay, somebody say, I'm approved, acceptable, and in right relationship with God. That's the meaning of righteousness. As you spend time in the Word of God, and you think, don't read these scriptures in a hurry. You spend time, you sit there. And as you think through the scriptures, something is happening to your mind. Let me tell you about the brain. The brain is the hardware, the mind is the software. Every time you sit down to read the Word of God like this, you spend time, you read the Word of God, a file is opened in your brain, somewhere in your brain, like your computer. The way you open a file and file away a document. When you get in the Word of God like this, and you read it and meditate on it, it is filed away somewhere in your brain. The next time you open the Bible again and read that same scripture or other scriptures, it goes into other files. It files them and files them and files them and files them and begins to affect your mind, your thinking. All of a sudden, it just occurs to you one day. Nobody preaches to you to stop going to nightclub. You just wake up and say, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm too much for that place. Place full of sinners and sin. Oh, no. I'm not going there. I'm the righteousness of God. I am. Yeah. Yeah. I made a mistake 2 days ago. Yeah. Sit and get out of here in the name of Jesus. Because even, listen to me. When you slip, when you fall, when you make a mistake, it's between you and your father. Amen. It's a family matter. Somebody says it's a family matter. No, nobody gets into your family matter. Except Pastor Fred. I mean, with your biological parents, if they let me know, man, you got a big case on your hands. But on a more serious note, something happens between you and your dad. You don't need me to come and talk to your dad unless there's something wrong. Ordinarily, it happens every day. Yeah, dad. I'm sorry. Yeah, dad. Yeah, mom. It's a family affair. Satan can be coming to tell you, hey, put down your hands. You want to pray. Who will hear your prayer? Get him out. You kissed somebody yesterday. You stained your lips with sin. Sin of kissing. Tell him, you shut up in the name of Jesus. I've sorted that out with my dad, so you get out. I'm right with God. I'm approved. So when I see a child on the street who is sick, I'm approved of God to lay hands in the name of Jesus and command the sickness to go. Can I have an amen to that? But you know you won't be able to do that if Satan drives the sin consciousness into your mind and says, hey, that hand. You know what that hand held. Don't try it. God is a holy God. Do not allow your dirty hand to heal the sick. Keep your hand in your pocket. And you know what we do many times? Okay, sir. Okay, and then you walk away. And then something terrible happens to that child. No! You foul devil, get out of here. I am approved of God. I'm in right relationship with God. And so in the name of Jesus, you, Satan, get your dirty hands off of this child. Do it now. And you lay hands in the name of Jesus. And they receive their healing. Can I have an amen? Faith begins where the will of God is known. The will of God is your righteousness. Jesus died to make us the righteousness of God. I move on very quickly. Somebody getting blessed this morning? Now, because you know that righteousness has been imputed to you, you are also expected to walk righteousness. That is to live and do righteously. Acts 10, 34 to 35. Peter said this in the house of Cornelius. Quickly, please, whoever is on the system, I beg you. Acts 10, 34 to 35. Acts 10, 34 to 35. Acts 10, 34 to 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is too big to respect anybody, any whosoever. God doesn't respect you. He only respects his word. That's all. So you walk his word, boom, you get in line with him. Not you as a person. Nobody is any big man before God. Oh, he does miracles. God is the one who does miracles through him. Are you with me? Are you with me? Never you think that you are the biggest person in your family because you are the one always praying for everybody when they are sick. So I'm the biggest. No. God is the big man. Jesus is the one working in you. You are only a vessel. You are not the source. You are not the source. Somebody say, I am not the source. Say, Jesus is my source. Now, verse 35, Peter still preaching. He said, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Even though righteousness has been imputed to you, you are expected to also work righteousness. Next time they bring that bottle of red wine, look at it and say, well, I am the righteousness of God. I used to drink this with you, but I'm the righteousness of God. Therefore, there's an expectation of the kingdom from me also. I need to walk righteousness. It says, give wine to those who are ready to perish. Yeah, the book of Proverbs says that. He said, don't be tempted when you see the redness of wine in the glass. It is very tempting, but don't be tempted. Especially when it's cold and chilled and the glass is sweating. My goodness. They say a little wine is good for the heart. Hallelujah, praise God. People have been drinking wine and they're having cardiac arrest. What's the problem? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So I have expectations. I cannot afford to mess with my destiny. Listen to me, church. God so loves you. He has so much invested in you. In fact, he moved into you. He so loved you, he moved into you. God said, look, I can move to VI. I can move to Banana Island. I can move to Milton Keynes in the UK. But I choose not to move to all those nice places. I move into you. You house God. You carry God. Therefore, don't do what God will not like for you to do. This is not a game of rules and don'ts, do's and don'ts. No. You just feel that, oh, no, I have God here. God, can we enjoy this X-rated movie together? But you know that God will not behold sin. Just because of the consciousness of your righteousness, you drop certain things. You stop working with certain people. Not because you hate them. You love them. You pray for them. But you cannot afford to allow their lifestyle to rub off on you anymore. Because according to Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can't afford to roll with the call girls anymore. Yeah, you used to be there. You used to do like them. But now you understand you are the righteousness of God in Christ. No, God won't like it. God won't do this with me. And whatever God is not going to do with me, let me not do it. Because if I'm doing it, I'm exposing myself to Satan to attack me. And that guy is ruthless and cruel and heartless. He will attack big time. Big time. He's looking for every opportunity to attack us. He hates you with an unholy hatred. But God loves you with the holy love. Whose side do you want to belong then? The one who loves you or the one who hates you? Are you with me, church? Peter said, everyone that walks righteousness is accepted is accepted by him, accepted with him. In Galatians 5:13, the Bible tells us something very instructive. Galatians 5:13, please. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. It said, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to commit sin. You have been called to liberty. Now you have righteousness and you are the righteousness of God. But don't use that liberty as an occasion to sin. You have liberty. No, nobody's chasing after you with the law. Now you have liberty of grace. But don't use your liberty. Like when you go for NYSC, for the first time in your life, you're going to have liberty. Nobody's checking up on you. You're on your own. After your 2 weeks orientation, you're on your own, as free as air. You go to work, you come back to your corpus lodge or wherever you live on your own for 1 year. No father to say, where are you coming from? No mother to say, you're wearing that. You wear what you like. You go where you like. You bubble. You jaye if you like. But it's also a time to grow in the spirit if you like. If that's your choice. It's a time to say, look, I have time now. 3 hours every day, I will pray in tongues. And I will go out and preach the gospel to someone. And you make a difference in somebody's life eternally. Somebody will see you in heaven on the streets of gold and hug you. And say, thank God you came to Kotangora village. It was you that led me to Christ. It was you. Because when we see in heaven, we will be able to recognize one another. Our spirit and our soul will go there. Oh, the poor man, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus on the bosom of Abraham. And he was able to recognize him. Say, Father Abraham, please tell Lazarus. He knew Lazarus that used to be at his gate begging for bread. When you go to heaven, it's not just your spirit, your soul also will go. We will see one another and we will recognize one another. May someone meet you in heaven and give you a hug and say, thank God for your life. Thank God for your ministry. Thank God for you. You saved me through God. God saved you through, saved me through you from hell. Thank God you told me the truth that day. I was on the phone with a young lady last night. I never knew she was a member of our church, in the adult church. There was an issue between herself and a guy that used to work with me in my business. The guy was also in church. They had sex, and it was really bad. And the guy more like even dealt with her and threw her things out of his apartment. Some Tuesday morning or so, she rushed down to church looking for any pastor available. She wanted to report the matter. And somebody said, Pastor Fred, even though pastor of the youth church, but still a pastor, was in the office. They were both in the adult church. So the girl found her way to my office. I'd never known her. I'd never met her. She said, I know you, sir. I worship in the other church. I said, okay, you're welcome. What can I do for you? She was looking all rumpled, her hair scattered and shaggy and everything, her dress, everything. Why are you looking like this? Any problem? So maybe she was dealing with depression. And then she went into the details of the story, even the details of their sex life. I said, really? Someone that close to me was doing that? You know, sometimes we validate people. We think they are good people. Yes, really me. I believe in people a lot. I believe until they show me Pepe. But me, I'm wiser now, Sha. I still believe in people, but wiser now. Anyway. So the girl told me everything. I called the guy on the phone. I said, where are you? He said, Susu. I said, meet me in my office now. So he came to my office, all the way from Orogun. Sir, reported in my office. Now, don't think of anybody because you don't know the two of them. You don't. And don't go and ask. You don't know them. They were in the adult church, not in Expression House. Never in Expression House. So, the guy came and I said, she said so, so, and so, and so. And she's right here. What do you have to say? She's lying. I said, women really don't lie like that. Like that, with such gory details. Eh? What did you do? I'm sorry, sir. And you are this close to me. You go with me to events. When I travel, you've traveled with me. Did you ever see any? Did it ever happen that we lodge in a hotel and I told you to go to another room and one lady came to my room? Or I said, it's me and the sister so that we go to the room. So you go to another room. He said, no, sir. You've been with me at a governor's event. Have you ever seen such around me? No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. So other cases now began to come up that he had had. I said, look, this case will get to the senior pastor. He was flat on the floor. Don't report. I said, no, it's not to report you, it's to help you, because obviously I cannot help you. And I want you helped. Long story short, got angry, did everything like rascally people would do, insulted me in the presence of the senior pastor. That day I felt like beating somebody up. I just said, it's all right. Just go. So he left. That lady called me last night. She saw our reel, because I hardly post on Instagram, but a few days ago, I just started to post a few clips from last Sunday service and Encounter Night. So she came into my DM and said, I would like to talk to you, sir. Please, may I have your number? This happened about some eight, nine years ago. She said that day, you didn't just scold me, you scolded him. I took the scolding, he didn't. I don't know where he is now. But that day also, you prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't remember. Why would somebody come to you for sexual sin and you be ministering baptism of the Holy Ghost? But I did. She was a Baptist pastor's daughter who knew religion but had never had an encounter one-on-one with Jesus. She told me last night, Pastor, same thing had happened in my Baptist church. They set up a committee. They dealt with me. They threw me out. Said, but you took me in. You forgave me. You prayed for me. I received the Holy Ghost. Guess what now? She's doing a PhD in a seminary. And she said in a few years, she's going to be a reverend doctor. Now she's married to a very handsome guy that loves God, a drama minister. And they have a beautiful son. That boy is too beautiful to be called handsome. To the glory of God. She said, Pastor, I want to come to the Expression House to share my testimony. She had a very terrible sex life. She told me herself, for the first time, don't worry, when she comes, she'll tell you. She said, she was actually boasting when she came to my office. That first day. You know, she came to report the guy, to destroy the guy. And then she was telling me, one man cannot satisfy me. I said, I don't need that information. And well, it is signed. But guess what? Christ came into her. Christ picked that up. She began to tell me how many young people, how that God has been using her mightily for the youth. She said because she was caught in that youth thing. When she was doing her master's thesis, she did it in youth work in the Bible school. Youth work. Said because I found Christ and Christ found me in my mess as a youth. Said, please tell Expression House my story, but I'm coming. She said she wants to come in August. I said, don't worry, we'll work it out. I want to share my testimony. A life transformed by God. I give God praise. I've not got it right every time, but I thank God for the few ones I got right. Amen? When you spend time in the Word of God, you develop righteousness consciousness. And that helps you to build faith. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21. Quickly. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21. And then I will stop at Romans 8, 13. 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 21. Right. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, the name of Christ, do what? Shout that word. Do what? Come on. I said shout it. I said shout it. I didn't say it. I said shout it. Depart from what? If you name the name of Christ, to you alone, depart from iniquity. Stop explaining it. Depart from it. The most dangerous set of Christians are found are the ones who have mastered sin. I discovered that young man, that was what they believed. He had been sleeping with young ladies like that in church. Young ladies. So two of them came up and exposed him. Shame made him leave the church. Shame. Anytime we have a major program, he will still come around. I see him from afar and I'm not really pleased. There is no future for the rebellious. I told him, I said, the only way out of this mess for you is not even marriage. Because you will marry and you will still be cheating. You will still be sleeping around. The only way is for you to accept Christ. See, many people have come amongst us. And so we assume that they are Christians because they are amongst us, but they are not Christians. They are not born again. And sometimes we put them in position of authority. We put them in position of even leadership, but they are not. They don't know Christ. The things they do, people that know Christ will not do them. The most dangerous set of Christians are those who have mastered sin. Ah, they have destroyed many people's lives. There are some ladies who are unstable in their walk with God. They are still taking baby steps. They just gave their lives 2-3 years ago. They are not yet rooted in Christ. And they come in contact with you. And you are supposed to mentor them. You are supposed to show them Christ. But you are putting your hand on their breast. You are playing with their bum bum. And you are telling them, don't worry now. And they look at you in shock and say, but you are a leader in church. Say, don't worry. You know the grace of God that has appeared unto all men. It's not my spirit that is doing this now. It is just a moment in the flesh. And everybody has a moment in the flesh. And because they don't know anything, they say, oh, okay. I didn't know that spiritual people also spend some time in the flesh. We all do. Is that it? Even pastor. Yeah, do you know? Then they will begin to talk what they don't know. And then the Bible says they beguile unstable souls. They sneak into the houses of women. There is a curse on them. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Can somebody meet you and meet Christ? Can somebody meet you and meet a Christian? So for the first time in my life, I've spoken to ladies upon ladies who have been abused by pastors. So they don't want to come near any pastor. Anybody a pastor? Or can you be the last man standing for them? Well, where is your faith? You proclaim you are living a life of faith and you are living in sin. Faith and sin don't work together. In Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When you put your hands on her breast, is that faith? No, talk to me, John. Let's be real, though. Because I won't come on you, Lord. They know more than we do. Put it on the screen. Romans 14:23. Okay. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, put it there. Quickly. Romans 14:23. Please, now. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When you put your hand in a lady's bum bum and you rub it, is that faith? Is that faith? One brother got on a video call with a sister, a young convert, a girl coming from the world who just joined our fellowship. And he said to her, video call, oh yeah, lower your dress. Let me see. He wanted to see mammary glands. Because when he was born, he was deprived of his own mother's mammary gland. So pull down your top. The lady herself came to my office to report. Say, pastor, what kind of leaders do you have? I was ashamed of myself. Some people, they don't know. I know things about them. I look at them and I shake my head like this. And they be walking around like a crab. The things I know about you, if I tell you, you will just walk or collapse me. A lady does not just sleep and wake up and come up with that. Abi, does it happen like that? I just want to bring somebody down. And if they want to bring you down, God will expose them. If that is the intention. If it is not real. I've seen a few things in my years of pastoring. When I called the guy, I said, so. I'm sorry, sir. I said, because I warned you of this hyper grace. I warned you. Now it's a shame. The message you are preaching has brought to you. Is that faith? Sister, by faith, may I see. What do you want to see? You want to see sin. I want to see the glory of God, though. Me, I want to see Jesus. We have a role to play. Because you are righteous does not stop there. Righteousness has been imputed. But the second part of righteousness is that you must walk righteously. Give me that 2 Timothy 2, where in verse 19, and give me KJV. Don't bother with AMPC. 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ do what? Do what? Depart. Depart. This is iniquity. Walk away from it. Don't stand there and romance it. Don't stand there and explain it. He said, depart. You know the meaning of depart. Don't let me be shouting like in the bosque. That guy shouted a lot. He said, depart. Osigini shouted on one woman, said, madam, where is your last bus stop? The guy was confused with the English the woman was speaking. Don't make me to be shouting like that. Depart. Simple English, depart. Walk away. Walk away from it. Walk away from iniquity. Don't let iniquity tabernacle on your head. You now become an apostle of iniquity. If every Christian in Nigeria lives as a Christian, we have a better country. But Aniwa Latiroli, Aniwa Latiri Jaguda, Aniwa Latiri Bewiri, Bewiri. One of them, he invited the prophet in his church. The prophet is prophesying in his church right now as I'm speaking. Only, 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 buruku. Stole almost 1 billion from people. Poor people that are struggling. And he is a general overseer. He calls himself the apostolic cover of a church. In court, I pointed at him. I said, ma, my Lord, is a messenger of Satan. He looked at me. I said, yes, you are a messenger. Go. Wicked men. They're in church now. And all their head, they're thinking of how to scam people. How to scam people. How to scam people. They do real estate. Scam people. No land, though. Just collect money. Collect money. They do travel. Scam people. They do gold. No gold, though. It's not a miner. One man. And he will come on the altar. Be careful the places you go to. It is not every place called a church that's a church. It's not every prayer program you attend. Have you attended the one in your church? I thank God for my wife. Oh. All those women programs they do in town. Women empowerment. Women fellowship. Business in women. Women in business. She know they go. Our prayer is our the one we sit down to. Oh yeah. We thank God for that one. But I say, honey, so I went to one prayer meeting. Because in those prayer meetings, that's where they will be teaching you. Your mother-in-law. Every arrow from a satanic mother-in-law. Fall down, roll down. That is the one clean your business. We have not so learned Christ. I submit to you, church, this morning. Anything you see, even in me, Fred Elegbe, that is not in Christ, please, thrash it. Don't follow it. Don't do it. And if you are bold enough, please come to me and show me. Bring my attention to it. I'm accountable to God. Anything. Anything. I've told ladies in this church before, if I'm praying for you and my hand is going on your breast and you open your eyes and you see that the man is by the grace of God, feel free to give that man a holy slap. How can we slap us? Slap the devil out of me. Emiko is the devil. And because me, I don't like dishonor. So me too, I respect myself. One prophet around here will go around in his church during the service. Well, sorry, women, that I'm really talking about women this morning. No, I don't talk like that, but this is one of those services in Expression House. So why are your breasts sagging like this? Pack where? Pack it. A prophet in the church. They stay in church at 2 p.m. Is the TB Joshua of Ibadan. A young man. Now he's a senior prophet. Whatever he tells them to do is what they do. If he tells them, for the next 3 days, you must not have your bath. Nobody has their bath. Nobody will have their bath. Have we so learned Christ? One of his church members, a lady I respect so much, one of my clients, put on her status during the week a prayer. The prayer of the prophet is that every gate of hell standing between you and your joy, let them die by fire. Every gate of joy standing, it's the gate of hell standing between you and your joy. So I slid into a DM. I said, Ma, the last time I checked, according to Galatians 5:22, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Ghost in your reborn human spirit. How did gate of hell get inside your reborn human spirit that it now got mounted and erected there? Are you in hell? She said, you know, that's why we have problems, because of gate of hell. Gate of hell is more real to them than the victory of the cross. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. In Hosea 7 and verse 8, he said, Ephraim, he has joined himself to the people, and his strength has been dissipated and wasted by strangers. Yet he knoweth it not. His head is full of gray hair here and there, yet he knoweth not. Ephraim, Hosea chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Yet he knoweth not. His head has gray hair, yet he doesn't know. Proverbs 19:2 says, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. It is not good. I said we must walk righteousness. 2 Timothy, that's where I stopped. Chapter 2. And in verse 22. Go to verse 20. For in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Yeah? Yeah? 21? That's where I'm going. If a man therefore purges himself, not if God purges a man who is the righteousness of God must purge himself. We all have the tendency to lust. Lust after things, lust after people. We live in the flesh, though we are not of the flesh. The warfare going on in our mind, nobody knows. It's just that there are some things I can't share from the altar, but I can share with my leaders. How God has rescued me. There was a trap the enemy set for me many years ago. When the church started, my ministry would have ended. I cried to God. Not a public prayer. It's a private one, sir. God, help me. God, help me. Don't romance the devil. If you see the devil wearing bra, don't go and romance him. Depart. I would have been trapped like this, and I would have been held captive. But God helped me. So a man has to purge himself. If a man purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Lord, why am I not a vessel unto honor? Why am I a vessel unto dishonor? Did you make me a vessel unto dishonor and you made some a vessel unto honor? No. In a great house, there are vessels unto honor, there are vessels unto dishonor. It is by your choice. If a man purges himself, if a man scores 300 in UTME and scores very high in Pursuit UTME, he shall be admitted for MBBS in University of Ibadan. A man now scores 195 and goes to UI and faces the admission office. Arabastaya, Lagado Bagaga, Ebagaguza, Gastaba, Mastaba, Medicine and Surgery, Ebrokotuzia. If a man purges himself, what will happen if a man purges himself? He shall be. It's not by prayer only. Purge yourself with the word of God. Walk by faith. Pray. Fast. Fasting helps you. When you are fasting, the flesh is weak. The major problem we have is our flesh. All the gra-gra is the flesh. When you are really hungry, now your mate. When you are really hungry, do you think of sex? Sex care. Have you ever been hungry? I'm not talking about the degree of hunger that makes you angry. The one that makes you humble. That anger level, you are not yet there. When you are angry, thinking your anger will produce. Anger does not produce. You will become humble. That time you just... Don't say, yeah! You say, I did not even hear. Fast. Purge yourself. God has no favorites. He's no respecter of persons. But if any man purges himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Man purges himself. The man purges himself. Every fine girl is your weakness. One that is tall, the one that is short, the one that is round, the one that is straight. Everybody, yellow, black, everything. This is our family weakness. My father was like that. Deal with that iniquity. Depart from iniquity. It's not peculiar to any man. It's a temptation for every man. So it doesn't put you in a special class. Every man that drives a Mercedes is your problem. When a man is driving Benz, oh Lord, that's my weakness, man, that guy, man. Because he's driving a Mercedes. Do you know whether he borrowed it? Do you know whether they sent him on an errand? Man, that guy has steez. It's a steez now, right? Right? It used to be effect. From effect, it changed to effizy. From effizy, it now changed to, Clemenceau, you know. Then you, swagger, Oshé. Then from swagger to sauce. But now it's steez. Just came down from his G-Wagon. Man, he was wearing palm slippers, man. He was not wearing socks, man. Socks on palm slippers is a crazy combination. That guy has this. Well, I thought I'll finish the message today. But I have to stop now. Praise God, amen. But has somebody gained something out of this message today? Stand on your feet, everybody. See all the scriptures I gave you today? Please go back and meditate on them. They will change your taste bud. Sin will taste very bitter in your mouth because sin is a bad taste. This is how your appetite for sin will begin to wane and fade away. Word of God has a way, a supernatural way of changing how you think. Your presence is heaven to us, King Jesus. Your presence is everything. There is no journey of faith without Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. There's no journey of faith without Jesus. I want you to talk to God now, everybody. Where you are, commune with Him in your heart. Make adjustments where necessary. Where you have missed the mark, talk to Him. Don't talk to me, talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Where you have missed the mark, you know, talk to Him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, this is just between both of us now. Please help me. Please help me. Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. Peter cried out when he was sinking, Matthew 14. Lord, save me. Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. I don't want to make a shipwreck of my faith. I don't want my Christian life to be a byword. I don't want to be a byword among my contemporaries. Lord, help me. I make adjustments in my heart. If you are lusting after somebody, talk to God now. Talk to God now. If you are tired, you want to give up on your faith, you want to go to the world, your friends are tempting you, talk to God about it right now. Talk to God right now. Talk to Jesus. He's right here. He's right here. Is our destiny helper.